The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, reading. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also had loved us, and had given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves in the fear of God. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men also to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his mother and father, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy power. We thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty, that you are God and there's none else beside thee. We pray that through your word, you will speak through your word. You will convict the sinner, challenge the saint, glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1971, the author and apologetic Francis Schaeffer, after witnessing the progressive decadence of the culture in his day and its effect on the Christian church, wrote his famous book, How Then Should We Live? Here again in our day, we're having, as it were, come full circle, witnessing even a greater decadence, faced with an even greater danger of the culture. We would ask ourselves the same question: how then should we live? Ephesians chapter 5, as we just read, gives us the answer. First, as we look at the book, we find that Paul, even in Ephesians 5, he presents us with the gospel as he talks about the sufferings of Christ. And this is what we say to you who are here, who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're challenging you that Christ Jesus indeed came into the world to give himself a sacrifice for you and for me. And not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. He did it so that you might live, and so that you might be saved. John chapter 3, verse 16 to the end, Jesus reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He goes on to say, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And so we warn you, those of you who are here who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that the wrath of God is abiding on your head, but there is hope. We are here to let you know that God loves you so much that even though you were and are in a state of rebellion, he's able to love you and to give you his life. And so today, as he did so long ago, and as we say, he commands all men everywhere to repent, we remind you that the wrath of God is abiding on your head, but we're here also again to let you know that our God is also our Savior. And if you would repent, you will be saved. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge you by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not immune from the deception of our day. And so we warn you and remind you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Be saved from what? Be saved from a burning hell that awaits you unless you repent. But this does not have to be your end. You can cry out to the Lord this afternoon and be saved. Paul writes to the Ephesians, again, as I said before, and he presents the gospel, but he also addresses the saint. He lays out and answers the question that we ask, how then should we live? He lays it out by telling us in Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God and walk as children of light. So he presents not only the gospel, but he presents what I would call the formula to personal sanctification. I see a lot of young men, young women among us. Today is Youth Sunday. And maybe you will be asking the same question. Many of you have answered the call, have repented of your sins, and have received the Lord Jesus Christ. But you, like all of us, struggle. And you ask the question, how then shall I live? Many of you who have answered the call to be saved and who deep down know that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, yet you struggle with the flesh for personal sanctification, you would ask the same question, how can I cleanse my way? How can I be a vessel of holiness that God can use me? The answer is found in Psalm 119, verse 11. Asked by a young man just like you, and who was given the answer? Wherewithal shall a young person cleanse their way? By taking heed thereto, according to God's word. The answer is in Psalm 1. And here's the secret to success, my young brother and my young sister. Walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ask yourself, are you walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Are you standing in the way of sinners? Are you sitting in the seat of the scornful? How then should I live? Here's the answer. Make your delight the law of the Lord. Meditate on his law day and night. Personalize Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you might observe to do the things that are written therein. Then you shall have good success. So to the young man and to the young woman, I would implore you to begin to internalize the word of God to the point where your soul will be dictating to your flesh, telling it what to do to please God, instead of your flesh dictating to your mind, telling it how to please yourself. you will discover the power of living for the Lord. How then should you live? Make the Word of God your life. My message will not be very long this afternoon, but I want to share what God has put on my heart. Not only does Paul address the sinner and his need for repentance, not only does he address the personal or the individual for personal sanctification, but here he also addresses the family, and he addresses the husband, and he says, husbands, love your wife. Love your wife. I just also want to say to young people, those of you who may be contemplating marriage, Paul does not say that you simply should get married because you like the person. I like you, you like me? Yes, let's move to Cleveland. That's not the reason you should get married. But the scripture presents, as it were, six P's as to the reason for marriage. First, procreation. This is brought out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Procreation. Then, partnership. It is not good for a man to be alone, says God. I will make for him a helpmeet. A man needs companionship. He needs a partner. He needs accountability. He needs a helpmeet. Yes. Not only is marriage for procreation, partnership, but it's also for purity. Hebrews chapter 13 reminds us, marriage is honorable. The bed is on the file. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And so, it is for purity. Sexual purity. Brought out in Hebrews chapter 13 and also 1 Corinthians 7. To keep you from sexual immorality, let every man have his own wife, says the scriptures, and let every woman have her own husband, not someone else. It's also for provision, as brought out in Ephesians. A man should leave his mother and father, cleave to his wife. They shall be one flesh. He takes a wife to protect her, to care for her, to cherish her, to care, to love her, and to serve her. And then the last P is picture. Marriage is a picture of Christ and the church, as brought out in Ephesians chapter 5, where we just read. And so for those of you contemplating marriage, we want you to be aware of that. It is a sacred exercise, the greatest relationship next to knowing Christ. And husbands are reminded to love your wife as Christ loves the church. It's not saying to take authority over your wife. It didn't say that. It's not saying to disrespect and call her out and dominate over her. It never said that. It says, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Is the husband the head of the wife? Yes, he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 brings that out. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Meaning that the wife is not inferior to her husband,
The husband serves his wife. And when you take on that role, you become a servant, a loving servant leader, teaching and raising your family in the fear of the Lord. The command to us husbands is to love our wives. And that love is not simply a phileo love. It is an agapeo love. In the Greek, it means a divine love. It means a godly, sacrificial kind of love. It is a love of the will. Ultimately, God is depending on the husband and the family for the ultimate success and strength of the marriage. This is why Jesus said that the man who puts away his wife causes her to commit adultery. Jesus is teaching us that the ultimate responsibility for the success and the spiritual growth of the family rests on the husband. Therefore, if we are not walking in the Spirit and approaching the marriage the way that God commands us to approach it, we'll never understand and experience the fulfillment and joy of what we've been called to. This is how we should live. This is how we need to show the world going mad. I don't know what your marriage is like in this context, but I know that it can always be better. If we remain faithful to the dictates of the Word of God in this regard, your marriage can always be better, much better than it is. Some people may say, well, I married the wrong person. Well, it's the right person now. So forget that idea. Embrace the commands of the Lord as to how we should live, as to how we should treat our wife, and how we should raise our family. I believe that if many begin to do this, we will experience the joy and fulfillment of the relationship that may have been characterized by conflict, strife, bitterness, mistrust, and unforgiveness. The Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, commands us husbands to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Don't try to figure her out. Don't try to analyze and figure her out. It came to me, you know, that when God was preparing my wife for me, I was asleep. So it's going to take me a lifetime to figure out and grow with her. And that's what you need to do. Realize that. Scripture is not asking us to figure out our wives. It's simply commanding us to love her as Christ loved the church. That's our duty. As I close, I leave this with you, men. As Paul, I would say, quit you like men. Be strong. Know this. Men, do not give in to defeat. They do not give in to pressure. They do not give in to intimidation. They do not give in to temptation. They don't seek the easy way out. They will take the pain. As Christ endured, so will he for his wife. They will invite the risk to love unconditionally. They will confront the challenge and in the name of the Lord, defeat it. They will not bow to the pressures of our society to compromise God's divine order and his commandment to be faithful. The strength, their strength, will be to live out biblically the principles and the conviction of the Bible. They will embrace courage in those convictions. He will stand strong against everything that challenges those convictions, bravely facing the challenge and the challenges in a fortified way, while maintaining self-discipline and speaking the truth. When we do this, we will answer back to the world and to those who would otherwise be victims of a culture gone mad. How then should we live? We will not be ashamed to tell them we believe in our God and we'll continue to live for him. We're given the opportunity to live out the picture of Christ in the church. Those of us who are not married, but you have the same commandment to live holy before God. As I wrap up my message, some may be wondering, why did I not say much about the wives, even though it's noted in Ephesians? God, in his divine wisdom, shown us through the scripture, throughout the scripture, the principle of cause and effect, where the Holy Spirit sometimes will present the effect first and then the cause. So the effect of a successful marriage is presented, where the wife is admonished to submit to her husband, but the cause is brought out when Paul reminds us, husband, love your wives. And so, husbands who are loving their wives and are demonstrating godly love to them will experience naturally the effect of holy submission by the wife to him. This will also affect our children. For the greatest gift that a man could ever give to his child, next to raising him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, is his love he shows to his wife, their mother. We have a responsibility, men. We're being watched. We're being observed. How then should we live? Embrace God's word. Stay obedient. Stay faithful. Live for the Lord. Let him be your everlasting joy. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we thank you so much for your word that continues to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I thank you, Lord, for challenging those who don't know thee and challenging those of us who do. We pray, O God, that as we continue to read your word and to serve you, that we will do it with reverence and godly fear, showing to the world how we then should live. We give you all the praise as we continue in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.